Proverbs 14:4. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. If the barn is clean, there's not much going on. Now, I don't know it, but I seriously doubt that the next outpouring of the Lord will be gotten by following the guidelines of an old paradigm or a nifty church model which worked once upon a time. In Joshua 6, they marched around Jericho 7 times, and the 7th time, all the people shouted with a great shout, and the walls fell down. Pay attention. Never again has taking a city happened that way. In 1 Samuel 17, David defeated the champion of the Philistines with a rock and a sling. 1 Samuel 17, 49-50. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. What? No sword? Scripture specifically points this out in 9 little words, making an incredible point. Yep. No sword. Ha! He threw a rock at the guy. The rock made its mark, and the battle was all over except the crying from the enemy. It had never happened that way before. There are no reports of anyone ever defeating an army with a sling and a stone again. Sure, I reckon it's possible there may have cropped up training centers for future rock slingers. And there may have been people selling slings and some special giant killer stones as if they were at a carnival somewhere. But never was it reported that God took out an enemy the same way, ever again. The method with which revival is arrived at is by following God's lead. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came while believers were praying in an upper room. After that, I bet there were people who decided that in order for all that wonderment to happen again, they had to find an upper room somewhere, fast and pray, all because some bright person figured that's how revival happened. Another time in June of 1800 at the Red River Meeting House, a small, rural Presbyterian congregation was holding a church service which began as a Scottish sacrament service. The communion service started on a Thursday, which was a day of fasting. Friday as a day to ask questions and have discussions. Saturday was preparation day. Sunday they met and had communion, and Monday was a day of giving thanks. But in the middle of it all, there began amazing Holy Spirit manifestations with increasing intensity and burning passion from the Lord. The congregants gathered at the church, others at nearby campsites for singing, worship, and prayer in the morning. There were reports that many continued on for 3 days and nights, weeping, singing loudly, repenting, and praising God. The passion and zeal would seem to die down, and suddenly a shout would come out of the camp, and the fire would rise again, continuing for hours and days. As God released one group to rest, He brought in others to carry on day and night. That is extreme, even in my opinion. It was all so intense it spread from Branch County, Kentucky, to the surrounding Cumberland region into Tennessee, Ohio, and western North Carolina. The Holy Ghost fire lasted for almost a year and included other denominations like Methodists, Quakers, and even some stiff Presbyterian leadership. People came from great distances to be a part of what God was doing. One newspaper reporter wrote, as he watched the crowds from a hill, that as they sang and worshiped tirelessly day and night in the valley below him, He could see the Holy Spirit sweeping over the immense crowd of people, saying it looked like wind blowing in waves across fields of wheat. From the Cane River Revival, an important innovation of continuous church services emerged, which they called camp meetings. The revival came to a close around May of 1801. I grew up in the Southeast Bible Belt, and even to this day, there are many preachers who still put up a tent and hold camp meetings. Of course, the pattern of campground meetings the Lord used in 1800 isn't how He did it in other revivals. The Scottish sacrament service was tradition which had carried over from Europe. But what the Lord did was unique to the necessities and identities of the people in the culture of the area. If we try to work up revival based on what happened before, what once was the method of connecting with God will become the very method of our hindrance. If we don't transition to the new, we will be constrained by the old.